You staying in the family?
Yeah, I gotta make, I haven't made a reservation yet. Come down, I'm just gonna come down for the day, come down Monday and go back on Tuesday.
You driving there?
Yeah, I was trying to decide whether I wanna drive or take the train.
Hey, Kevin.
We're gonna probably drive to the next meeting.
On Monday morning?
No, Sunday.
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 Let's see what it is Sunday.
Yeah.
I might go.
Because Sunday's all vendor stuff, we don't need to be.
Yeah, there's not much there. I've taken the train in the morning, it's like at 7 o'clock and you get there at 1.
Yeah.
From Syracuse.
Monday morning.
So I haven't decided yet. The other thing about driving is you gotta pay a fortune for storing a car overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you say, unless you park further upstate and take the train in.
Yeah, take the train, yeah, you can do that too.
You can do that on the upper Hudson, just park and ride. But then you're worried about your car in a parking lot for a weekend.
No easy way.
I know.
Okay, but plan on Monday night dinner.
Okay. All right, so we're rolling. It's 5:32, we'll start the work session. Lighting and guide rail installation on the Longview at Radisson subdivision. We'll have Al brief us on this. Hey, Al? You wanna brief us on some of the work session stuff?
Sure, sorry.
Bring your own.
Yeah, come on, what do you think?
This is a bring your own chair project.
Bring your own chair. What, you gotta be coddled?
Oh, ignoring her.
Boy, geez. Tough crowd, yeah. It's early in the night for this. So we had a parcel in Whitetail Woods. I think you all got an attachment of this. The shaded parcel on the corner of Doyle and River is the one in question. It is a flag lot parcel, similar to the one that we did to the north of the Whitetail Woods development that we excluded. Essentially, when the map plan and report for this district was done, all the land controlled by the developer was put into the district. Therefore, the special district codes got put on even the lots that don't front the internal streets of the development. We already waived the district fee for the parcel directly north of Whitetail Woods. This one is obviously not on an internal road, so it does not receive any benefits from the lighting improvements that were done. And they got charged the fee for the lighting district.
That's right here.
Yeah, I got a copy of it. I got it highlighted if you need it, but yeah.
158.93.
Yep.
Yeah. And what about the properties, I guess, to the east of that? They're not included?
Those were not included in the district. They're existing homes that were along River Road.
If you remember, I think we looked at a couple, was it March?
This one, I think we excluded that one in May.
Oh, yeah.
In May.
So it was in the spring
May or
last
June
year.
Of last year, we excluded the parcel immediately north of Whitetail Woods, that house that sits way back from the road. I didn't catch that this one was in the, had the district code on it, so the owner has requested that it be...
The obvious question is, are there any others?
No, this should be the last two. I pulled the map, and these are the only other two that are affected.
I've been in contact with her. She's awaiting the results of tonight's decision. And then once this is, if the board agrees to it, then we'll be in touch with Teresa over in the assessor's office, and that charge will be removed from their bill.
Yep.
Any questions?
Makes sense
to me.
Okay. Lighting and guide rail.
Guide rail. Bob Shanahan, who's a developer at Longview, is here. Come on up.
No special treatment.
It depends. You want to stand or sit?
So we approved the contract, as a little background, we approved the contract drawings for this development in March of this year. They included one area with some box beam guide rail along a steep slope adjacent to a wetland that we didn't have adequate, had to minimize wetland disturbance, so we had to put a piece of guide rail in. Bob would like to use a wood guide rail product that is approved by the state DOT. It's called Ironwood Guide Rail. I think he just wanted to come in front of you and show you the product and make sure you're okay with it before he had his engineer revise the contract drawings to include that product.
It's wood rather than metal. It's double the price.
Yeah.
Just for aesthetics. We first started this project in 2006. We brought in the best players in the United States to design this. And I've got a copy of it right here. And Daniel Hewitt was the head of Radisson. And this is going to be the site, residential site in Radisson. So we've done everything we could to make this thing as good as possible. And that's why we're talking about the guide rails here, that we want to make it look good, because we've got about 2,000 feet of frontage right on the river. This is one section now. We've got approval for one section, which we've got 16 lots in front of this. And as we proceed south in development, we'll probably have a marina in there and other single-family homes, maybe some condominiums.
So Radisson is...
Radisson doesn't, I spoke with Lynn Tanner about this. She doesn't necessarily have a problem with it. I think Bob is just trying to avoid costs of having Julian do a revised drawing, you know, for the project until he's got some kind of, you know, what the board's thoughts are on it, essentially.
Yeah, what's the life expectancy of this rather than that?
It is slightly less than the box beam guide rail, just because it's a wood material. It is pressure treated. You're looking, my understanding is you're looking at 25 to 30 years on this product, where a box beam guide rail is typically 40 years.
So, and the reason we're talking about it is that we have a say?
We approve the contract drawings, we approve the products that are used. Our specification says it has to meet the DOT specs. Okay. This does have a DOT item number. It does meet the DOT specs. It's FHWA approved for streets.
No, I get that, but so why are we? I'm just playing devil's advocate. But if this was a regular box of metal, we wouldn't be sitting here, right?
We've already approved it as a metal box beam.
That's what we approved. Oh. So this is a modification.
It as a metal box beam. This is a modification to what was already approved. Right. There's a slightly shorter life expectancy to this product, and ultimately, I mean, the town is not gonna, when the time comes to replace this guide rail, you know, there's expense. If it gets hit and we got to replace a section, obviously the town either has to replace it all, or they got to replace a section with this product, which there's, you know, Bob just said it, it's twice as much as traditional.
But in 25 years, when the whole thing has to be replaced, we can go back to the metal.
I mean, that would be the town's
option.
I mean, our standard, we typically use, when you use box beam, we typically use corrugated metal, the S-shaped guide rail, just because that's the
cheaper,
least expensive product out there.
Oh, does this have the same durability, or
from a load rating standpoint? Yes. I mean, the service life is, because it's a wood product, not a metal product, is less than a metal product.
It's got metal backing on it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you, so the chances of the whole thing having to be replaced at once in its lifetime is small, but chances are it may get hit once or twice. What are the smaller costs associated with replacing a beam rather than a stretch of
it's essentially double the cost.
It's just
twice the cost.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, every guide rail has a service life. I mean,
how many feet is it again?
The first section, I think, is 230 or 240 feet in the first phase. As we get into the, because they have some wetlands that circumvent the site, there'll be some other areas where we'll likely need some guide rail in this development.
Are we likely to see, if we approve this, someone else saying, oh, we'd like that over here, and we'd like this over here, and then we get,
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, we don't have a ton of guide rail in the town. We do have some.
Hey, it looks great.
It goes right down to the river. It starts at River Road. It goes down, slight elevation, going down to the river. We have, I think, 12 lots on the river.
So it's right down here.
Right.
Yeah, it's on that bend there.
All right, so really what it comes down to is consideration on aesthetics for the neighborhood and the possibility that it might set a precedent in the future that the rest of Radisson might want to convert to this type of rail system rather than...
And also replacement cost if someone clips it 5 years from now.
And I think that that is more likely. I mean, if ice, if somebody's driving, you know, I think the small replacement cost is the more likely option, more likely concern.
So what are the costs? What are we talking about?
What, 230 feet, I think Bob said, was $26,000?
I think it's half that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think it was $6,000 for the 230 feet of metal.
Okay.
And I think it's $13,000. The wood.
Okay, so each, so.
Yeah, we're willing to go double just for the aesthetic value. We think it's
to install it, right? And then, but once it's installed, then it's our baby. All right. It's pretty cut and dry. It's So each stretch. I mean, these are look like they're 10-foot length beams.
Here's the actual installation detail. They're actually between posts. They're 7.5 feet between post on center, so they're like 8 foot essentially.
Right.
If it was $13,000 for 200 feet, did you say?
Yeah.
So it's roughly $65 a foot.
Yep. So if a car clips it, basically you're looking at it in a minimum of 2-section replacement, typically on a guide rail.
And at those costs, and that's what again?
So $65 a foot times 8 times 2.
$500.
Yeah, $500-$600, and plus the. You know, labor to put
okay.
It on.
Okay. Let me, one more question. Sometimes these the details, you know, you get stung down the road. Do we store, we don't do our own install on. We don't.
Well, no, well, if something gets damaged, we'll drive a new post and put a new piece of corrugated metal back.
All right, so we store corrugated.
We don't. We buy it on the end.
All right, so on demand.
On demand basis.
All right, so it's not, doesn't mean we're going to have logs laying around for 30 years.
And the company that makes this is in Clinton. New York, so just east, either just west of Utica. So it's not like you got to go to, you know, Colorado or something to get the stuff.
And one more thing, Alan, you said it's 7.5 feet post to post, but there's 3 posts here, so it makes it 16-foot lengths?
Here's the detail. Each.
I mean, I'm looking at the picture.
Oh, actually, you know what? The way they've got
it. Do you get copies of the detail?
Yeah, so it's 13 and 30. Yep, they got copies of the detail. So 7.5 feet between posts, total length of each log is 13 feet, okay. 1.5 inches.
All right, that's nice. I see that.
Sure.
You know, I hate to find the sounding like I'm looking for reasons not to be excited about this or to approve it, but what, there's one company in the United States that's making this?
This is the only wood guide rail that has a New York State DOT approval at this time.
So 25 years from now, we're going to bank on this company still being in business, and or even 10 years from now, they don't go bankrupt. And
I mean, the way our highway budget is, if when it's time to replace this stuff, we're going to be more than likely putting metal guide rail back. I mean, these are metal guide rail, the standard posts that you'd use for metal guide rail.
I guess, like, but in the interim, and nobody knows the answer to this question,
nope.
But in 10 years from now, when this thing is still it's only a third of its life gone, and someone clips it, and the company's out of business, it's going to really look stupid if we replace a 16-foot section with something else. Now, you know, I don't want to argue with you in terms of aesthetics, because I think you know, what about just the metal, the box, the stuff that they use in the Adirondacks that the state uses?
Yeah, metal box beam. That's what he's proposed. That's what's approved. What's approved is the metal box beam.
But up in the Park District, they used to use that rusted, the pre-rusted.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But you can't even get that.
Get that anymore.
That was nice. I mean, it rusted.
It was the box beam.
Yeah, box beam, and they
rusted up.
It wasn't galvanized. Right. It was ungalvanized box beam guide rail.
You can't even buy that. Because we were fighting for that on the parkway, right? In fact, we got it on the parkway, I think. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
We got the galvanized stuff.
All right. The galvanized, I think part of the reason why they're not making the ungalvanized stuff is because of the salt use. I mean, its service life is less than 15 years. It just rots to nothing. Mm-hmm. salt kills it.
Oh, sure. Is this some of the palm trees?
That's my second request.
Get a guarantee on them.
I think it's gorgeous. I'm just worried about the... I'm sure that it's going to get hit, and...
Well, you know where Mellage Landing is, mm-hmm. Manlius? Well, they've got it up. They put it up there. That's a pretty nice development, you can mm-hmm. imagine. And that was, I don't know, 1980, 1982. You can see it there. It still looks beautiful, and hasn't been any damage. It's enough off the road in most instances that it wouldn't mm-hmm. cause any damage.
Plows aren't going to clip this. Yeah, do we got an opinion from Gene?
He's right here. We can
Gene who?
Ask him.
Hey, Gene, how you doing?
I'll bring him a chair.
Hey, we're
until now.
Front and center.
Hey, come on.
You have to bring your own chair tonight.
Yeah, bring your own chair.
What are we looking at?
This guardrail here?
Is that we're putting in?
This is actually the Longview project on the east side of River Road going down to the river where they did the sewer bore this summer. The developer's here. He would like to use this wood guide rail product. On the wetland crossing area in the development. He's got about 230 feet of guide rail approved right now that's box beam, and he would like to use the, for aesthetic reasons, this wood product.
Yeah, that's a lot prettier, but long-term maintenance costs.
The long-term costs are higher.
Yeah. Considerably.
Do you think the plow would hit it, or do you think it's better?
It's off the road enough so that the...
No, plowing is... not an issue. It's only the maintenance right. and replacement costs that you got to consider. I mean, want to make a guardrail district and have put up a few bucks to take care of it in the future. I mean, I don't know why. I like it. Looks great.
That's what I was
but
saying.
I don't know why the people in Dexter Parkway should contribute to a guardrail over
thinking
there
the
on
same,
the river.
I was thinking the same thing.
Community as long safety. As you pay for it.
Well, I mean, it's a long term. Yeah, I mean, maybe that is an option if you wanted to.
You have lighting districts.
Could you do, I don't know if you can do a road. I think it's because it's a road.
Because it's in the highway district.
Yeah,
because
it's associated with the highway cost. Yeah.
I don't think we can do it. I mean, I understand what Gene is saying, but I don't know if you can do the highway guardrail.
I'm also worried about creating the precedent. You know, I mean, if we put it up here.
We already said that we could make a district to put stripes on the road. Radisson wanted to stripe the roads, you know, they can do that if they want to pay for it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a district.
They, if he wants to pay for his own guardrail.
Yeah, they're paying for it up front, and then it would
yes,
be our baby
he's
down
willing
the road.
To install this, pay
okay,
for
but
it.
Okay, but wood rots eventually.
Right.
Yeah, the service life on this is 25 to 30 years. Metal cap by box beam guide rail, they say, 40-year service life.
So we've got to figure out how do we pay the bill in 25 years.
Right.
I mean, I like natural stuff. I mean, I think it's pretty cool, especially down by the river. It looks nice, enhances the value of that land. No problem if you can pay for
it's
it.
It's not a safety concern. It's an aesthetic issue. It enhances the neighborhood. I don't know as if it sets a precedent simply because the builder is paying for it. Down the road, if areas of the town that had box, traditional metal box guardrail that wanted to convert to this, that's a totally different discussion because that's an existing product. And
I mean, I think when it comes down to it, the important thing to consider is everything has a service life. When the service life is up, how are the residents going to feel if we don't put another wood product up and we put up a
well, we get that
product?
We hear that now in Radisson.
Yep.
I mean, they have very unique features in Radisson,
mm-hmm.
and they like the infrastructure to remain, even though there are less expensive alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, aesthetics have benefits as well.
Yep.
You know, the property values in areas where you upgrade facilities, typically those values tend to
stay higher,
and over time you generate higher tax revenue off higher assessed areas. So I honestly, it's not I thank you for coming in. My personal opinion, I'm one of five on the board. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
So am I.
I'll support it. It looks beautiful. I guess my only concern is, you know, we might want to keep in mind that it's just something that we may have to replace, and if it's going to be twice as expensive, at least certain parts of it, I just think it's something we should keep in mind.
We'll cross that guide rail when we get to it.
Hopefully we don't want to cross the guide rail.
You or me are going to cross that
rail. Well, if somebody clips it this year, though, or in its first year of service, then we are going to cross that
right.
road. And that is an issue. That is something that should not be taken lightly, I think. I don't know. What do you think?
I'll support it.
Yeah,
there we go. I mean, does this require?
No, well, when he provides amended contract drawing, we'll just approve that sheet and we'll insert it into the set because all the details are on one sheet. So the guide rail location is shown.
Does this have to come before planning as well?
No.
All right.
No, this is strictly a town board function.
All right. Well, I thank you for coming and presenting.
He's got another one.
You've got another one. Oh, that was easy.
That was easy.
Wow.
Here's what we see right now out there as far as street lights go.
Yeah, we've got the Radisson, you know, Radisson standard shoebox.
Shoebox.
He would like to use the lamppost style that we...
The third sheet there shows what we have now.
These are old things.
Yeah.
That's what we have.
I love this.
The shoebox.
So if you can picture what we're talking about as far as this development goes, it goes directly down towards the river. You'll be able to see the river from the road and from all the houses. And what we want to do is that kind of a street light. It's every 200 feet. It's going to wrap around because we're going south. There's 55 units in the total development, so there's 30 acres there. So we'll be going south. This is the north end of the property. And what we want to do is put these lights down because it'll be right on the river. It'll be very, very attractive. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the same idea with the guide rail. We're doing this because, as I said, this was originally supposed to be the place in Radisson, and we sort of thought it was going to be two, but things have changed a little bit in 10 years.
But this is different than it is in the lighting district, and that lighting district's responsible for these poles if they get damaged?
Yes, and typically as you know, because we've done this a few times now, when it's time to install lights in a lighting district, in a new lighting district, you know, we send out the public interest survey with the four copies of the offerings from National Grid of the styles of lights. What are you interested in? And from there, the board authorizes National Grid to go in with installation. In Radisson, it's a little different. In the Radisson standard is the shoebox light. So National Grid doesn't even give us a choice. Once 75% of the houses in the development are built and the top course asphalt's on, they come in and they put in their shoeboxes. In this instance, the developer would like to put the lights in before the houses are built. Just to dress up the street, I'm assuming as a sales kind of as a sales point that this is what it's going to look like. It's not going to look like the rest of Radisson. The Radisson Lighting District does pay the vacant lots in the Radisson Lighting District do pay the Lighting District charge. So as soon as he files the plat, the final plat for the development, each lot will pay the lighting district charge. So in this instance, if the board does allow National Grid to put the lights in when they're powering the subdivision, each lot, you know,
that you still own, you'll pay
the portion of the fee, essentially.
Do we need to do anything with Radisson to get?
Ultimately Radisson, and I spoke with Lynn today about this. He's got to run this in front of the Radisson board. Lynn doesn't see the Radisson board having any problems with it just because it's a upgrade from what their standard is.
Yeah, I talked to Lynn before.
All right, so let's say...
They are electric, right?
Yeah.
I thought you were joking around.
There's gas lights.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Box light gets hit in Radisson. How's it replaced?
That's there's a maintenance fee associated. The National Grid owns these posts.
Okay.
And lights. If somebody hits a light in Radisson, National Grid comes out and fixes it. We pay an annual maintenance fee on these, and they come out and fix it.
Okay. And what's the cost difference on these things? It's going to be the impact on...
Actually, the shoebox, because it's the shoebox light and post is
rare now.
Rare, and it's actually one of their more expensive options.
Oh, more expensive than this?
Yeah, believe it or not, because they use
that's a no-brainer.
They actually use fiberglass poles for these. They are not steel poles and structures. These are a fiberglass pole with a.
And National Grid comes out and replaces it.
Yep,
they're okay with this design.
That's theirs.
Oh, it is.
It's one of the options.
Yeah, this is one of their options. Yeah, this is their...
National Grid maintains it?
Is it LED?
No.
Do they have an LED option?
No.
The reason why I mention it is because that's the way things are going now. I mean, municipalities are actually...
The only thing right now that the PSC is allowing National Grid to put LEDs in is the Cobra Hats.
All right. Well, most of these things are converted, can be converted down the road anyway.
Right.
I'm totally fine with this. I think it's a prettier light than the box light. Some say the box light's timeless. I disagree. No, and I think it's in a unique area. It's on the river. It's something that I would want in front of my house. So I see right. Where
they don't have residents tall.
They're not. These posts, I believe, are 12 foot tall. The shoebox post is 16. See, 16 or 18. I can't recall. I think it's 16.
Light output, same.
Yeah, same wattage, same.
From someone's house, can the back be shaded?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. I don't think they have shading on the backside.
All right. I'm fine with that. That was an easier decision because it's less money.
Yeah.
And it's prettier.
It looks better.
Right? And we're gonna do the Radisson standard. Traditionally has been the precast concrete light foundations that National Grid charges us like $75 a year maintenance fee on the concrete foundation. So we would go with the direct bury post. And save the district a little bit of money. Okay. Our maintenance fee on the Radisson Light District lights is it's $175 per light annually, and like I know the traditional one that we put in Whitetail Woods, the one that's on the top of this sheet, is $110.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming before.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, so really all you got to do is have Julian with the light fixtures. We don't typically have detail for those. So I'll write a letter to Mr. Hess at National Grid stating that we're okay with the use of that. The proposed picture, whatever one you pick there. And I'll have Joe sign it so that when they power up the subdivision, they can put in the poles and the light fixtures. And then just one, have Julian do a revision on the detail sheet for the guide rail, and we'll have the board pass a resolution adopting it.
Okay, sounds good. Do we have to be here for the meeting, or is this?
No, that's for me.
You can stay if you want.
Run!
I didn't say that.
Timber Banks was here the same time we were. They started at the same time. Now, you know what they've got down there? We haven't built a house yet here. Amazing. So, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. Nice meeting you.
Joe, can I ask a quick question in regards to the committees?
Yes.
Is there any chance I can serve on the Parks and Recreation Committee with you? I think it would be a great opportunity for me to learn and
sure.
Be more involved with that committee.
Absolutely.
Person right, you said?
Yes.
All that's going to grow.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
That group is what we have now, but I think Tony's looking to add 3-4 more members. All right, Tony was going to try to make the work session. Okay. I know he's coming from a wrestling event. And he won't be able to join us for a regular scheduled meeting. But he wanted to have an opportunity to run through the fees.
Yeah, just because I had a couple of questions on the fees.
Once you settle on the fees, by the way, I didn't see anything on the agenda. You just need to adopt a resolution adopting those fees.
Okay.
That's how you change the fees year to year. It's just by resolution.
Okay, now
so
it's
whatever,
not...
whatever the list is there and whatever you finally decide, just make a resolution approving the fees as listed on
well, the agenda. Okay, that's...
It was on the regular agenda. When Dina sent the thing email, I was there.
Maybe on an attachment.
Did you get one?
General fees.
She resent. Was it?
She resent the agenda, but it's not on.
It's not on. Then it's a new one.
Why don't we add a motion G? It was a.
Oh, can we add it to this?
You can. You can put it on the organization.
If Tony has one.
Yeah, Tony.
Tony,
come on up.
Come on, join us.
Bring a chair.
Bring a chair. You could staple to this.
Yeah.
Make it part of the.
What was it? She had a whole bunch of fees for not just the park. I thought there was more. Maybe it's needed.
Is there more missing?
No, I know I gave my proposal.
Where's zoning fees?
Well, on page 11, there's town fees for services.
That's it.
Yeah, this one. So you just adopt a resolution approving the town fees for services. Is listed. Unless you want to change any of them.
All right, Tony, why don't you run down through your fee schedule and kind of brief the board on
okay. What
you came up with?
In 2017, I'm looking to do a little bit of changing the fees for the pavilion rental. If you look closely, the fees pretty much have stayed the same, but I'm doing a five-hour block. What we're finding is that people are renting it smack dab in the middle of the day, and some people want to get in after, or some people want to get in before, and we can't do it because we don't know when they're coming or when they're leaving. So now all we're doing is we're giving it time slots. We're doing a morning time slot from 9 to 2, and then we got an hour for cleanup for our staff that's already up there to clean up and get ready for another party if it comes in, and the next time slot would be from 3 to 8. We also added in here, and this is new, is an all-day price. Before, we was charging $60, and that was basically the all-day price. Now we're saying for an all-day price from 8 to 9, we gave a premium rate of it'd be $90 to use that all day for the big, large Rotary Pavilion. We still will honor a non-for-profit status for $40. I think that went up $10 from last year. Those are like your nursery schools that use the facilities, your preschools, your schools that come in. We just upped that from $30 to $40 because we've been noticing that we've been getting a large number of preschools and schools using it during the work a weekday.
But you don't have that on?
Yeah.
It's there.
$40 for Baldwin's Journal Nursery Schools. It's not on there.
Yeah, we don't have a copy.
Okay. Well, this is what I gave this paper to Dina.
so I don't know what's typed up in front of
it. We don't have it.
Okay. We got an email.
We got an email from you.
From you.
But that was all we got.
Well, it, on there would be the, it would be $40 for...
I can't talk about it unless I have something in front of me.
Can you want to make copies?
I'll make copies.
We didn't do that last year. We did it section by section. I don't know as if you can accept the whole. I mean, it'd be great. It'd lop off about 20 minutes to a half an hour.
Tony has some suggestions on what you can abbreviate, though, in terms of what you read and what you don't read.
I mean, I was going to, just to let you know, I was going to read down through the committee. But when it comes to by item A, B, C, I'm just going to abbreviate. So, Tony, these last year...
Make a suggestion here on how we adopt all this.
You can just... It's your appointments. So you can just say, I'm appointing the following committees,
yep.
The following members, is listed on page one. You don't need to go through each one. Everybody's got a copy of the agenda of the court thing. So, I mean,
okay.
Rather than read them all, you can just say...
Kevin, do you have a copy of this out there? As far as the...
organizational
meeting? The organization? Okay. Okay.
You could just do it that way. I appoint the following. They're your appointment. You don't need board approval.
Okay.
I just have one question about that. On the committees where you have three town board members, do you have to announce those meeting times?
Yeah, we shouldn't have. I don't see which ones that we have three.
Government affairs and cemetery committee.
Yeah.
I'm at a town board meeting, but you want to change it, or I don't know what law states on.
No, that's
advertising for.
Well, typically when the committee meets, we make that public. It's announced.
Right, I don't know if you need to.
Yeah, for open meetings law.
Yeah.
I don't know what those.
Well, it's just as easy, like, most of these committees don't meet. It's just as easy to take somebody off. So, Pete, Bob, what do you guys, I mean.
Which one? You're talking about government affairs?
Government affairs.
Okay.
I mean, I should be on it, obviously. I'm dealing with the CEOs of other municipalities.
I'll stay if Bob wants to go. I'll go if Bob wants to stay.
No, you can be on it. Okay. We're saying we have to publicize it if there's three.
Well, if you got three members,
if you got three
discussing town board, it's open to the public.
So
I can drop off that.
Okay.
These
changes I probably want to mention too for people out there.
Yeah. So maybe it would be good to read the board members for
or just during.
Yeah.
It won't take long.
We're not going to change all of them. But
no.
Right.
Make it.
You can just say.
Are you dropping Bob and adding someone?
Nope. So the highway committee is that's fine.
Yep.
Buildings and grounds is fine. Workplace safety. Fine. Fire and public safety. It's fine. Parks and recreation. It's fine.
You're adding Mr. Diamond to that one?
Yeah.
Yep. Employee relations. Is that the only one?
No. Cemetery.
Yeah, I can drop off the cemetery.
Well, Bob, were you on the cemetery the first year, right?
There's a joke that I'm afraid of on there.
I was.
I don't know. Maybe it's good to have the history there.
There's no history.
You want to stay on that?
I've got the history.
Okay.
I'll jump off that.
Cemetery?
I'll jump off the cemetery.
Who's in chair?
Bob Ellis. Actually, Bob's done an excellent job. The work that we've done over the past year, Bob's done an excellent job. You're the chair.
Roger that.
That's it. Okay, back to Tony.
So I'm still not clear on how you're gonna read down through every one of these.
So I'm just gonna say, as far as the committees go, I'll rifle down through the committees.
Read the committees.
Yep. But then what I'll do is, I mean, my appointments. Other than that, those are pretty. I can rifle down through those. The clerk. Those are. She has one appointment. I can mention that. The highway superintendent, I can kind of lump those employees together. And then I think we can make it one general motion for town board appointments. What do you think, Tony?
Yep. Yeah, you don't need to, on any of those, you don't need to make individual names.
Okay.
Because you published this or put this out to the public to begin with. Specific.
All right, so that goes through town board appointments, goes through 1 through 11. And then salaries, and I'm not going to read down through all those.
So just do a resolution to approve the following salaries and stuff. Motion for banking and official banks. Signatures I can read, it's short. General charges I can read. I just read down through these. It won't take long. Pass motions. And then the procurement policy hasn't changed. We can adopt that. Meeting schedule. Holiday schedule separate. I'll read the official newspaper. You should have a motion for that.
Okay. Official undertaking, motion for that?
Yep.
Motion for the
fee
town fee, the fee schedule.
Thanks for services. And are we going to attach Tony's park fees to that?
You need one for petty cash?
We got that.
Motion?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
You can do Tony's either as part of this or as part of the meeting, regular meeting agenda. Either way.
I think it should go in the organization.
Sure.
So next year, as we're all learning about this, when this comes out, just make sure that your proposed fees are incorporated into the organizational meeting.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, Tina's not here, so we'll make sure.
You gave them to Dean?
And David.
Until I wrote those memos, I got nothing. I had nothing in front of me to review. So I would just like to have stuff in front of me, you know, several days in advance of whenever we're going to meet. I don't care about what. I just don't like to have to pester people to get stuff. So I'm not blaming you, Tony, but I don't know where the fallout was, but it never came to us.
It could have been my fault, not getting it to her in a timely fashion.
Right? No, I mean, I think
we just got those today.
I think when we finally, this went through a bunch of revisions because there's so much information.
Right. And
rather than sending out five revisions by email and running the risk of having someone not get the right one, you know, we had a work session before this, so if there were any questions, we could address them. But certainly next year. And the other option is, you know, we can push back the organizational meeting we did last year. It bought us some time. I mean, the state says just we need a...
As early as practicable after the first of the year.
Right. So we could always...
It's not practical on Thursday. You can do it on Monday.
Yeah, because it is, believe it or not, I mean, it requires a lot of input from all the department heads. Yeah. There's a lot of personnel. We've tried to make this as accurate as possible to avoid... Last year, I think we went back and had maybe three or four revisions when it came to salaries and dates and certain things, so we tried to really scrub it. And then again, like I say, there wasn't a lot on the work session agenda, so I thought any questions that we might have, we could address. There were no changes in zoning fees, building permits, or anything like that. Really, the only changes were the negotiated rates of pay that we had discussed during budget time, and Tony's parks fees. Other than that, if there was any significant changes, I'd want the board. But we'll do our best. If you want revisions, we can send you the revisions.
Well,
it's hard enough for me to keep track of the revisions. I mean, we had like three or four of them.
Well, what I found difficult, Tony sent this to us.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and saying, I can't tell if it's a new fee or a changed fee or the same old fee.
Okay. All right. So since we've basically discussed how we're going to adopt these fees, why don't you brief the board now on what you came
so
up with?
So basically, from 2016 to 2017, the fee's going to stay the same. What I've done is, like I explained, I move things into time slots now. So you've got a morning time slot and an afternoon time slot. Price will still be the same. We're giving people the option of renting it for a full day price of $90. That's new, if you think about it. Or basically, if you're saying that from what it was last time, it's $60 to $90, which would be a $30 jump.
For a day.
For a day, right. But we're saying now we're actually putting times on it, so we're looking at the whole picture of, instead of doing that, it's $90. And that's going to be for your graduation parties, your family reunions, who use it for the bulk of the time.
Is it one rate? Because didn't you have two different rates depending on the size?
We did. We had a $60 rate and a $75 rate pending on the number of people that are attending. Even with the graduation parties, the family reunions, they weren't always paying us the $75 anyways. They would say like, oh yeah, we have under 100 people, but as you went to the parties, people were coming throughout the day, where it was well over 100 people, and they were still only paying $60.
Yeah, it's smart to forget about the number of people.
Yeah.
Right, so I was thinking to make it more enticing is to say is like, it's $90, you want it for all day, it's yours. Or we can try to fit two different parties in there and try to double our revenue for the weekends when the bulk of our parties come in. We did the same thing for the small pavilion, kept the rate at $40 for the 5-hour time slot. If you want it all day, we only bumped it up to $50 because that typically is more for your small little birthday parties for your smaller kids, things like that. We see that eventually coming better when we go into future things of developing the park. We see that pavilion taking off and growing. For the community room...
Before you go to that, even though we've done it forever, I guess, I'm just thinking customer service here. You're saying whether you rent the Rotary or the small, it's a non-refundable price. And I'm just thinking, you know, some family, can't we say if you cancel within 30 days or 45 days or 60 days...
Or you can re-rent it.
Or you can re-rent it, that will give you... I mean, most businesses give you money back. And to me, this is not so much revenue as just... It's the reason we're charging is so the folks don't abuse the privilege, you know. They're paying for the reservation. And, you know, if some family emergency comes up, I just assume give them back their $60.
We could take it case-by-case basis.
Well, no, you can't unless we say so, because you have non-refundable here, so we have to take that word out.
Yeah, you'd have to set just a policy. You could even do it. I know the village used to do things on the island events. They would...
We don't refund due to weather. I mean, it's something, you know, we can't call it for that. But we have worked with preschools and nursery schools before. If they run it during the weekday, typically they are non-busy time. Saturdays and Sundays, we're full. We don't have enough pavilions, and we can't say, okay, yeah, we'll give it to you
months down the road. I'm not saying you should be able to cancel the day of the event on a bright, sunny, you know, bluebird day. But if someone, you get a phone call 2 weeks before the event saying, we just had, you know, there's a sickness in the family, we can't have our event. If I got that call, I'd give you $90 back.
I'm just as sympathetic as if, I mean, I got a 5-year-old and the skies open up and it's a rain out. I mean, that's a weather related. The venue's not impacted. It's not like,
right.
The village would refund a $1,700 fee for the use of the island on a rain event. Or if you're reluctant to do that, at least give them an opportunity to book again.
Well, why don't we just take out the non-refundable word, and you know, you guys work on a...
And then you bring it to the board if need be.
Or just to you, Joe. Just walk into your office and say, look, we got this phone call. You know, it was a birthday party, but the mother-in-law...
So we're just taking out the verbiage.
Yeah, just take out the verbiage. Unless you guys disagree.
And we can just leave it as use fee. So it's a $40 use fee?
Yes.
Then we can take it a case-by-case basis?
Yes.
Between you and the town supervisor, you work it out.
Do we have to define that, Tony, in this?
I don't think you do.
Okay.
And then the $25, that's, you get that back regardless if you leave the place in an location.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the basic use of your body, saying that, you know, you're going to pick up, make sure the trash is in there. And
I sent a lot of $25 checks. Lot.
Yeah, there's probably one case that we don't ever issue one back. Good. You know, most of our staff is right there to give them whatever they need, brooms, dustpans, bags. So it's more or less, it just kind of encourage them to pick up and do something. As far as the community room, we went with a $95 fee, and we did a max of 10 hours on the weekends, and a minimum block of 4 hours. Anything, if you wanted to do a 4-hour block, but you wanted to 5 or 6 hours, it's $10 each additional hour for that. We want to see more use of our community room and to rent it. We felt that doing it.
Say that again. So it's $95 for
the whole day, for a 10-hour.
Whole day, okay. And then what?
And then after that, if you want, it's a minimum of a 4-hour block. So if you're renting it on the weekends, you have to minimally rent it for 4 hours. So it's $40. If you want it for 5 or 6 hours, it's $10 additional hour, your hours
just
after that.
Confuse me. Can you rent it for 4 hours?
Yes. Minimum.
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 It's $40.
Right.
So it's not 95.
5 hours.
No, that's for 11, if you want it all day. If you want it for a graduation party, okay, and you're renting it with the pavilion, it's a flat rate of $95.
Okay, great. And then your weekday fee, it confuses me. It's only $10 an hour?
Yep, because it really hardly ever gets used during the weekday.
Whereas in the past, you had it for $70 for
right.
a weekday.
And it never gets used.
And
we made that same agreement with Pop Warner. Pending availability, we would run it for Pop Warner for their meetings, their coaches' meetings, stuff like that for $10 an hour.
And I would ask you, it seems to me that it's $10 is not enough, that you're to open up this place for just 1 hour, that you ought to have a minimum for the weekday too, you know, and maybe it's, I don't know what the number should be, 30, 40 bucks.
As of right now,
you have to, someone's got to be here, unlock the door.
We have staff up there.
Someone is there.
We have staff up there. Yeah. And really what it is it's just unlocking the door, flipping on the lights. That's it.
So there's no
table and chairs set up.
Yeah, there's no
set tables up and chairs are already set up. All we're asking you is to put them away, clean up after it.
But your real demand is on weekend, is what you're
yes.
saying.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And usually what happens is they bundle it. They take the community room and they put the food and all that in there, and then use the pavilion for seating for their party. So they'll line up the tables and they do like a
buffet line.
They'll go in there, get all their food out of the weather, out of the heat, and then the families will go eat under the pavilion. We see that with a lot of graduation parties and family reunions.
And what's Pop Warner specified separately for? What does that mean?
Just because we made that agreement with Pop Warner that if the community room was available, that they could use it for their coaches meetings and stuff like that, and we would honor the rate of $10 an hour. That could be on weekends, that could be on the weekdays. It's just a flat rate for them because they're a big user of the park. Moving on, the only thing that we increased with the administration fee, if we have a one-day program, it went from $6 to $7, just to try to get a little more in on our programming.
What does that mean, administrative fee? I don't even know what that is.
So basically when somebody registers for a program, if the program is $20, we charge a $7 administration fee of handling the fee, the doing all the paperwork. So instead of being $20, it'd actually be $27. So we would get that administrative fee. If it's a multi-program, just use wrestling for an example, it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays nights for 6 weeks, it's a multi-time program, it's $10 for an administration fee.
For each one?
No, just one time.
Does it apply to any of these programs, or is it?
It goes to our daily programs. So when you're registering a program, there's a $7 or a $10 administrative fee tacked onto that.
Wait a minute. So like, give me an example. So a program like day camp or something?
Right.
So there's a day camp price, and then you're tacking on another $7.
Well, actually, day camp's separate. Right. But just our karate, horseback riding, things like that.
You have a price for a karate program.
Right. So the instructor would tell us we need $7 or $10 per kid in order to run this program. I say, okay. And I say, we tack on $10. So the program, we set the fee for $20. So the karate person will get $10 per kid. We would get $10 per kid for the karate.
But none of those programs are listed here.
No, because it varies in pricing. We don't put every single price on there because sometimes we don't run karate. Sometimes we do. All the programs vary. This is just to set the administrative fee of what we're tacking on to the program.
Why? I mean, I think you should tack on the price on top of whatever else. But why set it specific apart from all the programs? You have the right to set a price for karate, wrestling, whatever.
We do. Doing. That's what I'm saying.
And then and you know to add $7 to that. Whatever the instructor says, the program is going to cost. You know to add $7 to it.
Right. But I'm just getting it proof from you guys that that's what we're doing.
But we're not approving the price.
What he's doing is he's basically asking for approval on the markup.
Right.
So if I want to take basket weaving and it costs $30, he wants to charge a premium of $7.
But where'd the $30 price come from? Who determined
it,
that?
It's what we would negotiate between
the vendor, the teacher, the instructor.
Or what it's going to charge us per hourly rate, saying we're paying you $9.75 an hour now. By how many hours you work, we got to figure out what the price is going to be, and then we find out what the rate's going to be, and then we charge a $7 administrative fee on it.
And that's the program cost.
Right.
It's not even on here, though, is it?
But each program, what he's saying is each program is different.
No, but there's not even an administrative. Did I miss it? Yeah. Oh, right there. Okay. I don't know. To me, it just seems confusing. It just seems like when you come up with a price for a program, you know,
one of the costs
besides electricity and your time and the instructor's time is this overhead, and I don't know why we have to specify it specifically like we're doing here. if everybody's happy with it, I'll go along with it, but I don't. It doesn't. It just seems unnecessary.
I kind of like it simply because that's what the town is charging.
Right.
I mean, we make no other money on a program except for $7.
No, we will make above and beyond of, like, say we're paying somebody an hourly rate and we have so many kids register, we'll make some extra money on that, or, you know, but most of the time it's right around $7 to $10 per program. We sometimes make a little extra money on different programs, depending on how we work it out with the instructor or the vendor.
I don't know. It just seems like you're just picking one cost and identifying it when there's a lot of variables into what you're ending up charging for a particular program. I'm supporting you. I think we should charge the $7 or the $10. I don't know why we're segregating it, though.
Does that $7 go somewhere else, like into a different?
It helps us. It helps us pay for our online registration system. Is really what it does.
No, it goes into general revenue.
It does, but I mean,
okay. There's no special pocket for any of these dollars.
No, it goes into the general fund.
So it's
fund.
All the same. It's so shown. Charge someone $20,
David shows his income. It goes.
Okay,
it shows his income.
That's what I was curious about. Because that would, I mean, it would explain why it was separated if they were going to different accounts.
No.
Okay. So at the budget level. Looking at it from a much higher level, when Tony proposes what he's going to generate in revenue, that's a component, that's a segment of
what
he's going to get.
What
there.
I anticipate.
Okay, I understand.
As far as field use, everything remains the same. All I did is add rugby to the soccer field and the football field. We're going to try to bring rugby in this spring, and Papa Warner's willing to work with us to create another field up at the park, out where field one is on the softball field. On the outfield. So all I did is put rugby in there, so if rugby does get established, we can...
Then you add pickleball.
And then we can add pickleball. Yeah, I added pickleball.
Is rugby getting any traction?
A little bit, yes. They're interested. They want to move a team out this onto the west side of the city, and we're the primary spot if they were to move it.
Can you go back to miscellaneous? What's cancellation fee, $15?
$15 is basically if you register for a program for some reason, you withdraw and the program is to go. It's basically we charge you a $15 administrative fee or cancellation fee for withdrawing from the program. It's to help prevent you from just signing up for it and then canceling it.
So if it's a $30 program, you're going to give me back $15.
Right. Because you're the one that signed up for it, you knew when it was, you knew when you were doing, you still signed up for it, then all of a sudden you're like, I'm not going to take it, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Now, does that take effect immediately? So if I sign up for your program today,
It all depends on if we cash or process your check. Sometimes if we still have the check in hand, we just tell you to come pick it up.
Okay.
Or we can shred it.
Because if I call you tomorrow and say, listen, I just realized...
Right, but if we took it to the bank already... Basically, we charge you the administrative fee, or the cancellation fee.
Does it happen very often?
It happens more than you think. That's why we went up from $15 to $20 for the day camp one. Okay. Because we were getting people to saying, yes, we want your services. Our numbers would be up 20, 30, and then they find out the Y opened up and they had availability, so they jumped over there.
So how quick do you see somebody signing up and then coming in and saying, you know, I need to withdraw, is that within a couple days usually, or is it...
It's always case by case. It's one of those things that, you know, sometimes people wait to the last minute. Like today we had boater safety course.
Mm-hmm.
We had enough to run the course, the instructor was gonna run the course. Somebody called us up and said, we have to withdraw for some reasons. Dropped us down to 8 people to register, so we had to cancel because they didn't want to take 8. So we had enough to run it at 1 point, 2 weeks through. We charge them the cancellation fee, and then we end up saying, oh, the instructor said we're not doing it for 8.
So do we refund the money then to everybody that was in that class?
Yes. The ones that were there, signed up, we gave them a full refund.
Well,
the vouchers will be going through this week.
You know, and I don't want to micromanage your department, but I would feel comfortable at least giving people 2, 3, 4 a week, you know, time period where we would refund it. You know, I mean, as long as it's not the week before the class is going to start, because I could understand the situation that would put you in, but I could see signing up for something online And then
I'm trying to discourage people from canceling. I mean, if you're signing up, you know what my feeling, and I don't know about your guys, but you know what you're signing up for. You kind of know the dates and the times. For some reason, that's what the cancellation fee is, to kind of discourage you from doing that. We do give a refund for people that sign up for a class and say, hey, yoga is not my thing. I'm not a person for yoga, so I'm out of here, and we'll give you a refund for that.
For yoga?
Well, I'm just saying. You don't look like a yoga guy either, but I'm just saying, if you took yoga...
Are you a yoga guy?
I support you. I even though it sounds like I'm contradicting what I said before about pavilion use, I support what you're doing there. And again, the only thing that's going through my mind are the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
And maybe you and Joe can talk about those extenuating circumstances that if and when they ever pop up.
Okay.
All right.
And we can definitely say, you know... If there's,
you don't say anything until someone calls you up and says, I got a problem. I signed up for this program, but, you know,
then you do.
I'm being transferred to California with my job. You know,
absolutely.
Whatever.
So how about that last statement? No refunds after that.
That's for day camp. I mean, we can take that out.
Well, I don't know. It depends, because if we're right at the last sentence on the paper, no refunds after that. If we're going to keep it negotiable. Should that be out? That's all I'm asking.
After what?
Before the session. So if you signed up for day camp and you wanted to cancel for some reason, we give you to the Wednesday before that week starts on Monday, so that we can get all the paperwork and make sure that we have accurate numbers, so we have enough staff to meet our ratios.
That sounds fair. I mean, that's different than one of those courses that you were talking about. I could understand the course.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying it's not fair. I'm just saying if we're going to have flexibility, I don't know. I mean, that's not flexible.
I mean, there's always circumstances that you always get a boo-hoo story on Thursday of why they couldn't get in on Wednesday.
A boo-boo story?
Well, we get them a lot.
I bet you do.
Is that a wrestling term?
Yes, it is. Just
get off the mat.
It is a wrestling term.
Good. All right, Tony. Looks like you got support. Thanks for
not a problem.
Thanks. Coming in.
Are we going to adopt this tonight?
Yeah, I got a motion.
You got all the changes that
I'm going to list it as a separate motion instead of on here. I'm
however, just going to nobody, the public is going to have this.
All right, Tone, as a courtesy, can you hand that out to the folks that are here and maybe
my copy? Yeah.
Make additional cop because there's going to be probably another 20, 30 people coming in.
I can do that.
Okay.
Yep. No problem.
All right. Do you have other things to talk about before 7?
Yeah, I'd like to call an executive session for personnel.
Just let them decide.
The border safety course is canceled for your announcements. Oh. That's what I was saying. Yes, nice catch.
We need a motion.
Drone training?
You know the rules and regulations by the FAA.
I caught the coolest show on TV about drones. They race drones.
They do.
So you put this thing on your face, and there's a camera on the drone, and you race drones around, like, factory buildings and stuff. It's really cool. It's like a computer game that you're in. Sick.
You do it by what you're looking at?
Yeah. So you're driving... In it's virtual reality.
On the drone. They got it on ESPN, right?
Yeah. Crazy.
The guy won $100,000 that won it all.
$100,000. What a neat thing. I can't wait till they start putting little tiny guns on them and shoot them.
I don't think we did a motion.
Oh, so hang on. I don't know how to do this.